Well, I don't think there's any disputing who the kings of Africa are. Al Ahly have won the African Champions League for the second consecutive year, for the fourth time in 5 years, and for a total 12th time. No other club even comes close. The second most successful side in African football would be Zamalek, their arch rivals, or TP Mazembe, who have 5 Champions League titles. So there's 7 better than any other club on the continent. No disputing, like I said, who the kings of Africa are. The club of the century, last century, and the way they've kicked off this century. Again, I don't think there's any doubt on who's going to be the club of the century in about 80 years when they make that vote. Anyways, welcome back to another episode of the African Five-A-Side Podcast. My name is Maher Mizahi, and as always, this show is brought to you by AfricaIsACountry.com. I do have my TV over here. I'm still watching the trophy ceremony of the CAF Champions League, so all of this is going to be very, very fresh in my mind. I still haven't had the chance to digest a lot of the information or read other people's thoughts. But Al Ahly beat Esperance de Tunis in the second leg of the CAF Champions League 1-0, and it finishes 1-0 on aggregate because the first match, of course, finished 0-0 goalless. Look, you saw images of Cairo International Stadium before the match, you know, 90,000 strong, and it felt like the Al Ahly of old, right? It isn't the Al Ahly of old because that atmosphere was on another level. This one is a little more commercial. It's a little more corporate. But it's still very, very good. It's still one of the best on the African continent. Definitely top 3 to 5 for sure. And when you have a club that's experienced, that's playing, you know, in their 5th consecutive Champions League final, they're used to handling that kind of pressure. And, you know, like the thing that it's a cliche, but almost every single coach says is, make sure you get through the first 5 minutes of the game, get through the last 5 minutes of the first half, so before halftime, the first 5 minutes of the second half, and the last 5 minutes of the match. Those are usually moments where teams can be, you know, primed to make mental mistakes. Esperance de Tunis, with this side in particular, because they had a huge turnover over the summer, not really used to playing in the final of this competition. And as a result, they concede within the first 5 minutes. And that's just absolutely unacceptable if you're an Esperance de Tunis fan. Credit to Al Ahly. Great ball in from Hussein Shahat off the corner kick. Rami Rabia nods it to the bottom corner. It was going off target. It's deflected by Roger Aoulou, the Togolese midfielder, who I thought was man of the match in the first leg. And the ball is redirected past Amanullah Memiche. 1-0 Al Ahly within the first 5 minutes. And it's one of those where Esperance were clearly, I think, using a zonal marking scheme. So they were all lined up, you know, within the 6-yard box, sort of in a line. And it's just one of those where the ball drops in, you know, in one of those zones, which is, it seems to be between two players. There's a player running, the Rami Rabia, the Al Ahly defender, is running onto it with more momentum. And it's just one of those balls that, you know, classically beats a zonal marking scheme. Anyways, look, even after the goal, Al Ahly had their best foot forward. They were on the front foot. They were the ones that were taking the game to Esperance. I thought Esperance were very lucky even not to have a man sent off in Roger Aoulou, who stamped on Marwan Atiyah, you know, with VAR. I thought that could have been a red card. He got away with it with a yellow. It was like one of those orange card fouls. And remember, before the match, we were talking about Esperance not gifting any chances to Al Ahly. And they did that time and time again in this match. I could think of one occasion off the top of my head. Hussam Ghasha trying to dribble like in his own third of the pitch, loses the ball. Percy Tau gets onto it and hits a shot, I think, it just off target. But one thing that Hussam Ghasha, the left winger, and Yann Sass, the Brazilian right winger for Esperance, were doing well was that they were defending deep. So they definitely, they were making mistakes. They were handing stuff to Al Ahly. That was like one of the keys that they couldn't do. But their wingers were defending well. As for Al Ahly, I really wanted to see something from Imam Ashour, you know. And I was highly critical of him prior to this, you know, Champions League final. Boy, oh boy, did he show up today. He was quite clearly, in my opinion, the best player in the first half. Probably the man of the match throughout the match. Just so much activity all over the place, being dangerous all over the place. harrying, winning the ball back, running into space, getting the ball, dribbling, cutting in, getting shots on goal. He was all over the place. Very, very good. But really, if you look at all of Al Ahly's players throughout the first half, whether it was Hussein Shahat, Marwan Atiyah, Rami Rabia, who scored the goal, Mohamed Abdel Munim, his center half partner, they were all incredible. Even Mohamed Hani was good. Everybody was good. There was maybe only Percy Tau and Kerim Fouad that had like mediocre, not bad, but like mediocre or average first halves. And the only chance that Esperance managed to conjure was a counterattack between the two Brazilians, Yansas and Rodrigo Rodriguez. And then there was like a free kick that was like 35 yards away that was just poorly taken by Yansas. So complete domination from Al Ahly in the first half. There's almost no disputing who were the better side then, right? I'm going to see if I can pull up some statistics from the first half really, really quickly. So please excuse this. So in the first half, Al Ahly actually had only 51% possession, which isn't a huge amount, but 8 total shots to Esperance's 0, 1 shot on target to Esperance's 0, obviously 1 goal to Esperance's 0, 4 corners to Esperance's 0. So there is absolutely no doubting who the better side were in that first half. Al Ahly clearly dominated. But Esperance made, I thought, a good tactical adjustment at the beginning of the second half. So they bring in Raed Bouchniba, who's a wing back, but he's an attacking wing back. You can almost call him a wide wing back, you know, like not really like a traditional fullback. And he replaces Ben Ali, who is more of that mold of like the conservative fullback, like a Mohamed Hani, for example. And Bouchniba, he's the one that's going to take up, you know, the wing and tug that right touch line. Hussam Tqa, the right central midfielder, also plays a little bit wider. And Yan Sass, the Brazilian right winger, who's left-footed, he came more central. And I thought this was a great, great move by Miguel Cardozo because it got Yan Sass on the ball time and time again. And they did a really good job of freeing him up. And he was combining with Rodrigo Rodriguez, the striker, very, very well. And that's how Esperance got their best chance of the match. And it came, I believe, in the 62nd minute. Yan Sass played a 1-2 with Rodrigo Rodriguez and hits the ball with his worst foot, the right foot, his bad foot, technically. And it flies just, you know, like a centimeter away from the post. And that really was, in the end, Esperance's only real opportunity in this match. They had like a chance on a corner kick in the 57th minute where the ball wasn't really cleared properly, and that was like a half chance. But that chance by Sass was a big chance that Esperance couldn't capitalize on. I thought Marcel Kohler did a really good job of countering that tactical adjustment by Miguel Cardozo by bringing on Aliou Jang. And Aliou Jang is going to sit back in a double pivot alongside, I don't remember if it was Marwan Atiyah or Akram Toufiq. I think it was Akram Toufiq. And as a result, they bring in a solution in central defensive midfield for Yan Sass, who's now playing as a central attacking midfielder. Really, really good sub by Marcel Kohler. My hat tip to him. But overall, as this match got into, you know, the 70th minute, I was waiting for Esperance to hit another gear. Because these matches, I sometimes liken them to middle distance running. I don't know if you guys watch middle distance running, like 800 meters or 1500 meters. And it's just about, it's not necessarily about who can run the fastest, the longest. It's all about rhythm, pace, and making a move at the right time. And it's a very, very tactical race. And this is how I see these matches, you know, in the semifinals and the finals, where it's like, you have to wait for the right moment. If you try to attack all out, if Cardozo tried to do that, for example, in the 50th minute or the 55th minute, you can get caught, leave yourself exposed, you can get caught out, and then Al Ahly scores a second goal, and then this tie is over. So he's biding his time, and I'm waiting for him to, you know, shift gears into that fourth or fifth gear with, you know, 15 minutes to play, 10 minutes left to play, and time is running out, and they never really did it. He made some substitutes. I thought Ogbelu, the Nigerian midfielder, had a horrible entrance. One of the worst substitutes appearances I've seen in world football in a very, very long time. Just did everything wrong. Fouled any time an Ahly player got close to him, on the ball, gave the ball away every single time. Just very, very bad. I thought Esperance needed a second striker. They only had Ben Hamouda, who's not really a good player. They needed like somebody that they can associate alongside Rodrigo Rodriguez to put more pressure on Al Ahly. Bukia, I thought, had a decent entrance, the Congolese winger, when he came in. But he came in a little too late, you know. So yeah, they needed probably at least another midfielder better than Ogbelu to come in when they replaced Tra. And they needed a second striker for sure. But Esperance, they don't have the quality in their, let's say, 15 or 16 or 17-man squad that Al Ahly do. Esperance have a good 11 players. They don't, or maybe 12 players. They don't have good 18 players like Al Ahly do. And overall, I think that was in total probably the main difference between the two sides as Al Ahly are lifting the championship trophy here as I'm speaking to you. Later on in the match, Efsha even hit the crossbar from a free kick, and so Ahly could have added a second. And by that point, it was just like, it felt like we could have played another half of football and Esperance were not going to do anything. And if anything, Ahly were going to add to their goal. And so I think overall, definitely a deserved title for Al Ahly. Congratulations to the Red Devils. Esperance didn't create nearly enough chances over the two legs. So they don't really have anything to complain about. Al Ahly were the better side. They're worthy champions. And once again, they're going to be the ones. Well, next year we're going to have a few clubs at the Club World Cup. So Esperance de Tunis will be one of those clubs. So it's not like, you know, these Champions League finals are a little, there's a little less riding on them now that the Club World Cup is an expanded version of itself. But yeah, Al Ahly can put another notch on their crest, you know, 12 Champions League titles. Congratulations to them. Let me know what you thought of the match. It wasn't really like a very, very entertaining match, but it was a good match, I thought. And I mean, officially, the Interclub calendar is over. No more CAF Confederation Cup, no more CAF Champions League. Most of the leagues around the continent are pretty much done. And so now it's time for us to shift gears and start producing a different kind of content that's still going to be engaging on African football. So anyways, thanks for listening. It's been another episode of the African Five-A-Side Podcast, and we'll speak to you soon. Peace.